Hey, this is Francesco from 60 Miles Ahead, and you're listening to the Local Music Revolution.
This is the local music revolution.
Hello and welcome to the Local Music Revolution. I am your host, Ogre. How are you doing, man? Last week's episode was number 100, so that makes this 101. Officially in the triple digits now, guys. Congratulations to you and to the Local Music Revolution. Proud to be part of this. On today's episode, we have Metal Religion out of Visalia, California, and Ivanhoe, California. It's a really interesting mix because the music to me sounds like it's 80s thrash, but the vocals sound more current, which is really, really awesome. They mix it really well, and I'm actually a really big fan. I cannot wait to hear what they have recorded when they do record because it's going to be fantastic. I also was able to have them on my Masquerade show on October 29th. They came through last minute, and it was just amazing to be able to work with them. Very professional, and they were very, very humble in, and they thanked me so much, man. It was just crazy. So before we get in, you know the deal. We need to do social media because everybody has social media now. So go to facebook.com/thelocalmusicrevolution. Go to Twitter at TLMR Podcast. Instagram at The Local Music Revolution. Tumblr at tumblr.com/thelocalmusicrevolution. And, of course, thelocalmusicrevolution.com. Yes, it's a .com. And that's where all the information is presented before it hits social media, because that is the way it's supposed to be. If you want to hear the Local Music Revolution on the go, very simple: iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. And for those of you that want a better experience, in my humble opinion, go to longbox.fm. There you can actually get all of the episodes that are current, and you can listen to other podcasts, which are super awesome. In any scenario, you just look up the Local Music Revolution and we will pop up, and you can listen to all 101 with this episode, episodes that have been released so far. Again, with all the love from the last episode, I didn't really do a bunch of plugs other than the very intro talking about all the companies I work with. Of course, Stringjoy being the first and one of my favorites to talk about, stringjoy.com. Specializes in customized strings. They will help you find your tone. Very simple concept. When you get to the checkout, all you need to do is enter the promo code LOCAL, that's L-O-C-A-L, and you will get a discount for being a listener of the Local Music Revolution. And that is the plug. So, without any further ado, here's Metal Religion explaining to you who they are, what they are, and why they want to dominate the world. With metal. Of course, metal. All right, I'm here with the guys and lady from Metal Church Religion. I knew I was gonna mess it up. I think there's an old 80s like thrash band named Metal Church.
Yes, there is.
My bad. It's Metal Religion.
It's all good, bro.
Sorry, I was worried I was gonna say Metal Allegiance and it was gonna be all fucked up. But apparently, my bad. So let's go around the room. Tell me who you are, what you do in the band.
I'm Garrett Simon. I'm the vocalist in the band.
I'm Crystal McCrane, and I play bass.
Yeah, I'm Michael Jump, and I play guitar and backing vocals.
Shane Behringer, and I play drums.
All right, so now that we have you guys and what you do, tell me about the band. What was the concept? How'd you guys get together, and what brings you guys here today?
Well, a while back, me and my buddy Shane here, we've always been involved in the music scene. He's been in several big bands around in this area that I kind of helped with as much as I could, you know, like a roadie kind of. And then we've always talked about kind of getting a band of our own together and playing together. And about a year ago, last year, we got together and said, okay, man, let's make this happen. You know, let's see what we can do, you know. Let's how high can we go with this, you know. And so far, it's going really well. We all got good members who all are on the same page and all like what we do together, all enjoy each other's presence, you know, and it's just really good.
Super awesome, man.
Yeah, and we kind of started talking about, you know, before the band got together, it was like him and I sat down and brainstormed, like, what direction we wanted to go, what kind of style of a band we wanted to get, and I think we kind of nailed it on the head with what style and kind of metal we wanted to play with everything. And
I really do like your style of music.
Thank you.
Like,
thank you.
The music is groovy as hell, and it shows. And you don't. There was such a long time where the Valley didn't have that.
Right.
And it was just lacking. And to see bands that are actually coming out with groove-oriented music again is super inspiring, especially in this town. So
yeah, and we just kept talking, like, you know, we wanted to get a band like with the style of 6 Feet Under meets Hell Yeah meets Pantera type kind of vibe. And you know, we're all big Pantera fans, as you can all tell.
No, the reason I'm laughing is because I have a live DVD of 6 Feet Under.
Yeah, yeah, same here.
They have the cover of
Double Dead.
No, TNT.
Okay.
And he's got that squeal, and I can't take that squeal seriously. And I feel bad because I like Chris Barnes and I really like 6 Feet Under, but every time I see him or hear him hit that note, I laugh hysterically, man.
That high pitched squeal he does.
Yeah. At the end, I'm like, what the hell are you doing?
I
love that though. I really dig 6 Feet Under. Like, we were able to hang out with Cannibal Corpse as well, and you know, I love the heavier side of that music. But also, I mean, I started playing drums because of Vinnie Paul. I saw him play Cemetery Gates, and I was sold.
Yeah.
It's like there's nothing better. Like, I can't.
we started jamming, started writing songs, getting things together. Garrett came along, and you know, got that going, and then we kept looking for a bass player. Couldn't really find one. Well, I kept seeing Crystal all over Facebook looking for a band. So I told Mike about it. I go, hey, she seems, you know, fits the mold of all the bands that we're into, you know. And I was like, okay, so we hit her up, and then so it's basically, this is the original lineup, is, you know what
it's
I mean?
Fantastic. And you hardly ever see that anymore. So you said that David Ellefson was your major influence in playing the bass. Was there a specific song or video or anything
no,
like that?
No, definitely. I decided that I wanted to play guitar, and I got a guitar. And I learned a lot of songs, but I just wasn't that into it. And then I heard Peace Sells. And I heard that intro, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, that's what I want to do. And that the rest is history. That was like 1987. Oh
yeah,
I dated myself.
It's okay.
I was a little kid. I was like 2 years old.
It's okay. I can date myself as well. Let's not do that. No, I grew up on 80s hair metal and new wave, right? And then yes,
hair metal and new wave. So I love new wave.
New wave was good. Oh, and then my stepfather came through, and he Pantera, Megadeth, Metallica, Sepultura, Propane.
I love Sepultura.
Oh my God. Propane, that's my jam. Yeah. Propane, the Beast is Back. Oh my gosh, that is some good thrash right there. But yeah, that's super funny because I've always been more of a Megadeth fan than Metallica fan.
Oh hell yeah.
Like I,
absolutely.
Like, and I recently just got damn it, and Justice for All, and I realized I was like, oh yeah. That's why I liked Metallica, is that album. Yeah, I love that freaking album. But yeah, up until like 3 years ago, I was a really huge fan of Megadeth. And then all of a sudden, I was like, I can't do it anymore. I heard with Chris Adler.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It shows.
Anthrax is amazing.
Of course. I work at a retail store in Visalia that has a tech store in it as well. And so I'm looking at new releases every single Friday. So people make fun of me because I will go, and I was like, the last time I was there, I dropped $70 on new CDs.
Oh, yeah.
It was a Dio box set. Come on, guys.
Got you, man.
27 bucks for a Dio box set. First six albums, dude. I couldn't do it. I couldn't pass it up.
That's a really good deal.
I know.
That's amazing.
$5 an album, I couldn't pass it up. But so the reason I want to talk about 80s and everything like that, man, is you're wearing a Judas Priest shirt. Like, you saw him in Fresno? I saw him at Knotfest last year. And it was, they closed out the night, and they, you know, Korn did a great job, and then it was Judas Priest, and they closed out the night with Painkiller.
Oh,
like, seriously, I could have dropped off the face of the planet that night, and I would have been happy.
Like,
oh my goodness, like, what is up with him, dude?
That is a difficult song. They have the drums. Like, that's got crazy drumming in it.
I love that song.
Fuck yeah.
I love, that's why I like metal though. No. Like that right there is because Rob Halford is a talented motherfucker.
Oh yeah.
Like seriously,
even
that guy. Halford?
Yeah.
Halford and Fight?
Yep.
Yeah.
I got all the Halford, all the Fight.
So, do you like Steel Panther?
I do. Huh? I really like them.
Okay, so I love Steel Panther. Like, I'll put Steel Panther on, and I'll just clean my apartment because I'm laughing hysterically the entire time. But Satchel, the guitarist, he was with Halford in Fight. Yes.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yes.
All those dudes are
like,
really good.
That is insane. Like, that's incredible. And then Pat Lockman from was in Halford, and then he started singing for Damage Plan. Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how that shit flows. It's amazing. All right, let's get back to you guys. I could go on metal history forever. Sir, you came into the band. You add a completely different element. And I want to talk about that because you got those low growls and stuff like that. So what is your influence to put that kind of vocal over the groove-oriented metal that you have?
Well, honestly, I like to challenge myself and sing in multiple different ways, but I'm most comfortable with my deep pitch and high pitch screams and growls and everything, because right now I'm still working on my clear vocals, because we're working on clear tracks, but it's still in the work in progress right now. But I don't know, I go with how I feel from the songs and everything that when they play, and one of my biggest influences for deep pitch is Chris Barnes, and George Fisher, and I can actually go on with names and everything. I can go on, but yeah, I'm a real big like death metal pitch fan.
Death metal, really. So what attracts you to the groove element of this band?
It's something different. I mean, I'm not trying to say anything about any other bands here. I love a lot of the bands here, a lot of the local bands. It's just the style that they play, it's different. And it's something, actually, I really love being a part of it because I get to try and throw my influences into the groove. And I think it works out so far.
So how do you guys write music? That's my favorite thing to talk about, is how that creative process works.
Normally, Mike comes up with the riff. Chris and I put our two cents in. We try to keep a lot of things tied in. Like, you know, she mentioned Anthrax.
Yeah.
I got Anthrax, the name, tattooed on my leg. But her and I kind of... Her and I are the same age, so these two are a little bit younger than us, but... So, we kind of, you know what I mean, that whole Frank Bello, Charlie Benante type kind of, you know what I mean, when they, drums and bass are, like, always together.
Yes.
And we have one song that really shows that, but I wanted, like, to do more where it's me and her in the pocket and Mike and Garrett kind of doing their thing, but mainly the songs come from him, riffs, and he's in charge of all the lyrics, and but she puts in all her fills, I put in all my fills. And
so is that a 7-string that you're using?
Yes, it is.
And it's a Schecter, a white Schecter?
Yes, Schecter, Diamond, Demon, 7-string.
Is there a reason why you guys decided to add the extra string?
Personally, me, I've always played a 6-string since I started playing, and I'm very kind of picky with my sound and style, and I tried and tried and tried to get more bottom end out of a 6-string guitar. I wanted that extra just, you know, and the 6-string couldn't do it for me, and I went to Guitar Center one day with Garrett, and just kind of messing around a little bit and started hitting them chords on that 7-string, and it was just exactly what I needed. Really? It just brought that deepness in I still needed, but I can still kind of get that little bit of highs from my squeals and all that kind of stuff. So
was it a complete coincidence that you have a 5-string bass and you have a 7-string guitar?
Yeah, I already played a 5-string, so it just worked out perfectly. So yeah, because not a lot of people play 5-string, and
Not a lot of bassists play more than 1-string.
I actually just got a new one today, and it's got 5 strings, too. I'm kind of hooked on the 5. I mean, I have 4-string basses, but, you know, I just mainly use those to play around at home and stuff.
See, I love the bass so much. Like, I'm a drummer by, like, all everything. Like, that's me. But I learned how to play guitar, I learned how to play bass, and bass is the most fun out of all three.
Yeah,
I'll just
definitely
sit down for hours and just pluck along to the bass. Yeah. It doesn't even have to have a rhyme or reason. I'm just enjoying the shit out of my life at that point.
And it's really good if you have annoying neighbors, because it drives them crazy. It does. I've had lots of 3 a.m. police visits to my house.
I've had a lot of visits, period. We once had the cops try to shut down the drums, and it was an acoustic drum set. So I told them, I was like, if you can find a volume switch, by all means, turn it down, and I will play that volume. So he examined the entire drum set, and then told me he couldn't find a volume knob.
That's a good one.
It really is. It's not their fault. They don't understand what acoustics are.
Yeah, exactly.
So you guys all put your pieces together and everything like that. So are you the last one that actually gets the songs?
Pretty much what happens is when they're all playing, when he plays his riffs and they come in, I'll sit there and I'll listen, and pretty much I'll start writing what comes to mind and how the songs make me feel, everything, because I want to try and have a type of connection with the song, so I can put emotions and just my feelings into it.
So are you the kind of lyricist that writes all the time, or do you have to have the song to be inspired?
What was that?
Are you the kind of lyricist that writes all the time, or are you the kind of that needs the song to be inspired?
It's actually a mix of both, because there's times where I'll just be sitting at home and I'll just come up with lyrics and everything. I'll write them down. And in fact, a couple of our songs that we have are a couple of our beginning songs were lyrics I already had wrote out before any instrumental was brought in. I matched lyrics with the songs that they'd play and see how they would match up. And if one of them matched up right, I'd sing that song and see how it go. And the 3 last songs are all from sitting and listening to the band play and just writing down how I feel and how the songs make me feel.
So do you guys record everything and practice on it, or how does that work? Do you guys do the old school jam in the middle of a room and everything like that?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, we're trying to find a professional recording, but right now it's all, you know, phone recordings, that kind of stuff. And then we take it home and practice on it, find little fills, all that kind of stuff. And that's how we improve each song, is I'll record a riff and then send it to everyone so they have it at home, so they can go off of it at home and kind of do their little thing and bring their own piece of music into it as well.
So with the writing and everything, Where do you get the inspiration for your riffs?
Honestly, my riffs come, I'm a huge mutant, just metal fan in general, you know, so just, I could just be listening to a song and just, it just, it'll pop into my head and I have to drop everything, pick up my guitar and get it out, because if I don't, it'll just fade away, you know, so I gotta just jump on it and create it and record it on my phone and then send it to everyone and see what they think's on it, if they like it, and then I kind of improve on it from there.
There's a couple times in the beginning, I'd get home from work, he'd text me, hey bro, you home? Yeah, why, what's up? I got this riff, I'm coming over. He lives right around the corner. So that's how we got it going.
Hey bro, I made up a riff, how's the sound? I'll listen to him like, hell yeah, bro!
Yeah, when I used to write, like when we used to write songs in my bands, we'd practice and just jam and see what happens. A lot of songs came out that way, and one of my favorite things was to do was just ask a random band member, just be like, what are you feeling today? Fast, heavy, slow, you know, something like that. Are you feeling like being pissed off? You want me to break something today? You know, my cymbals were up for grabs every single practice, you know? So like that right there, that's how we got a lot of our songs out, was just asking somebody's mood. It was super rad, man. We are 17 minutes in. Nice. All right, so do you guys have recordings, like actual recordings?
That is what we're working on. Right now, I think we have a recording studio in mine, Soundgarden in Porterville.
Nice.
Mr. Rocky Rosales. Nice. Very good recording artist, but he's got no air conditioning in his studio right now.
Oh.
So he's like wanting to wait, and we're all four like, screw the heat, we're ready to go.
I've got fans.
Yeah, exactly, but that's kind of like the best deal we found. I've worked with him before in the past in a previous band about 12 years ago, and, you know, he's got a copy of it still. What said he's...
Which band, though?
It was Max Chaos.
Max Chaos.
Correct.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I'm the original drummer for Max Chaos.
Oh, dude. I remember playing with Max Chaos in Fresno at the Crossroads.
Correct. We played there many a times.
And we got lost. We ended up on the opposite side of Fresno.
Right.
And that started my hate relationship with Fresno. I just hate that freaking place.
I work there.
Really?
You know,
I go there every day.
I'm so sorry.
I know, right?
We played the Starline one time, and this guy was, what?
I think I was like 17.
Anyways, we took him all the way up to Fresno. You know, we're from this area. We took him all the way up to Fresno, and we got him in the show. Yeah, and I told him, I said, dude, just stay away from the bar. He's like, no problem, bro.
it was a good night. They were it was the release party of Mary Magdalene. They were releasing their CD party. They were opening up the show, and it was really good night, really good turnout, and. You know, they took me up there, and, hey, man, we could really use your help, you know. This is going to be a pretty big show for us, you know. So, let's go, man, you know. I'm willing to do whatever I can to help, you know. I don't know if they'll let me in, but sure enough, they talked him into it. I got in the back door, you know, and it was right there in it, you know, so.
Dude, we played the Starline as well with Hate FX.
Yeah, I remember Hate FX.
And
what was that bass player's name?
Hollywood,
that's yes. Right.
Yes. That's dope. So we played with them during his era or tenure in the band, and like I went out in the behind that venue and got messed up on Jack Daniels with Hollywood because we were rock stars, right? I wasn't driving home, but my 10-year-old brother had come with me, so he was being roadie for Dan in 8FX while I was getting drunk.
We have all worked in previous bands, and one thing I can say about with what we got right here, it's an all-for-one type kind of feeling, you know what I mean? It's like if one person doesn't want to do something, then you know what I'm saying? It's you know, all-for-one, and that's just how we roll with it, you know?
That's amazing because, you know, as you know, there are bands where you just don't find that.
Right.
You have to work many years to be able to find that kind of chemistry.
And, you know, if somebody's not comfortable...
I'm not used to a microphone, sorry.
It's cool, bro, it's cool.
If somebody's not comfortable with the situation, then, you know, we don't force an issue. You know what I'm saying? It's like we don't show up to practice and be like, okay, look, this is a song we got. This is how we're gonna do it. It's like he'll show up or she'll show up and be like, well, what about this riff type kind of? You know what I'm saying? It's like we all will work on it together, kind of a thing.
Yeah, and like I said, man, I've been in bands where that doesn't happen.
Right.
I've been in bands where people literally just say no, 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 and it's like, hold on, you have at least give me something. If you say no, then give me an alternative.
Just like Buried Alive, the intro to Buried Alive.
Buried Alive, yeah.
We were talking one time, and Chris and I started thinking, like, well, what about if her and I started out like this? And then it was just like, the song just then just flowed.
Yeah.
And then it's like, then she came up with, well, let's end it that way, too. It's like,
and then boom, it just kind of, it just rolled with it.
Oh, dude.
And another thing is these are, like, the most reliable bandmates I've ever had. No one has flaked out. No one flakes. I mean, if we have plans, we always work around it. Nobody's flaked so far. And we've been together for months.
Yeah, it's a long time.
That's pretty unheard of in the music business. Well, yeah.
Pokemon Go going around, you know.
Football. Yeah.
Just leave that at that.
Leave that at that. I hate to cut this short. Yeah.
We both have to work.
It is completely fine. Thank you guys for your time. It was really nice talking to you.
Thank you.
Yes, of course. I will be doing that as soon as possible. But it was nice talking with you guys. You guys have a great one.
You rock times two, and we really appreciate the interview, bro.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now moving right along here, I don't want to put any too big of a gap in here. This is the Dirtbag Block of Rock. Dirtbag Smitty doing his thing with Another Lost Year. So listen to Dirtbag Smitty. And if you are interested in Dirtbag clothing, go to dirtbagclothing.com. Check out what they have. Wear it till it stinks, guys.
Welcome to the Dirtbag Block of Rock. I'm your host, Dirtbag Smitty. We're talking to Clinton from the band Another Lost Year, four-piece, straight out of Charlotte, North Carolina. How are you doing today, Clinton?
I had a decent night at the casino right now, and I'm medicating before breakfast, so things are great.
You guys must be on the road.
We're currently in Kansas City, Missouri right now. We're super excited. This is the last week of our Buds Are Back in Town tour. No pun intended, to be more friendly. It's more about how loosely California is on their butt ball.
Man, I was checking you guys out. You guys have shared the stage with, you know, a lot of actually dirtbag bands. Hinder, Trap, Saving Abel, you know, Seven Dust is on there. You guys have scored music for the NFL and your MTV. And yes, I did read your bio for some of this. What is like the proudest moment for you guys, man? What's like an accomplishment that the band kind of revelates in a little bit?
This is going to get deep fast, but when our album first came out, Alien Architect, the one that just came out in June, it actually debuted at number 8 on Billboard. And, you know, honestly, it was one of the craziest things in my life. I can remember I was driving down the road, and me and my girlfriend and Adam had texted me, and he's like, hey, man, you need to check your email. And whenever he tells me to check my email, I'm like,
yeah, you get all excited,
that.
Huh?
And, but I actually checked it, and it was from Billboard. And I called Adam immediately. He's like, dude, I checked the emails, you know, across them. Everything is right. Like, this is from Billboard. And then the very next week, we were checking the thing, and we debuted at number 8. I was just like, holy crap, man. This is the coolest thing ever, because, you know, it was an album that we self-produced, and we didn't go into a huge studio to record. Like, we just went in and did, we were us. And us being us is what did that. So it was amazing.
We are on the phone with Clinton Cunanan, awesome dude from Another Lost Year, man. Hey, Clinton. Do you have anything left to say to your listeners?
Just that I really appreciate you taking the time to do this, man. You know, not to be political, but there's an election coming up in a few weeks, and I hope people do their due diligence and go out and at least have a say-so in how bad the country is going to go, you know? What's up, everybody? This is Clinton from Another Lost Year, and you are listening to the Dirtbag Block of Rock, and here's our brand-new single, We All Die Ever.
I really thought I was murdering this dude. more music from another lost year, another Dirtbag sponsored artist, visit dirtbag.com. For the full interview, subscribe to our YouTube page at Dirtbag Clothing 1996. The Dirtbag Block of Rock is brought to you by Dirtbag Clothing, sponsored by Aquarian Drumheads.
All right, that was the Dirtbag Block of Rock. Thank you guys so much for another awesome episode. If you have anything to say, if you want to get in contact with me, very easy. Facebook.com/TheLocalMusicRevolution, on Twitter at TLMR Podcast, on Instagram at TheLocalMusicRevolution, on Tumblr at Tumblr.com/TheLocalMusicRevolution, and of course, the website, TheLocalMusicRevolution.com. Last sponsor I want to go through real fast, whiskey. Of course, whiskey. Whiskey is great, guys. But Cold Cock Whiskey is even better. It's herbal whiskey that makes it so, so good and so smooth and so easy to drink. You kind of forget that you're drinking alcohol, so you got to watch out for that. Even more so than the alcohol, the flavor, and how crazy of a company it is. They support local music. They support unsigned music. They support signed music and even national acts. So really, they are a great company to be working for in my situation. For you, go to coldcockwhiskey.com. Check out the bands they're working with. You might find a band that you truly enjoy. And when you are there, tell them that I sent you. Yeah, get some cross promotion and some help going there too. Coldcockwhiskey.com, guys. And that's the end of the episode. So, very, very easy. Next week's episode will be Cyborg Octopus. I really, really enjoy this episode, and you guys will too. And David Wu is super awesome, and his company is, I will mention that next week. So enjoy this episode for the time that it has been. Until next time, this is the Local Music Revolution. I am Ogre. You are awesome. Take care and be good, everyone.
This is the local music revolution.